On February 24th, Russia invaded Ukraine. That's 3 months ago today. When those initial troops stormed across the border, many expected a Russian sprint to a swift victory. But when you look at the battlefield now, both sides appear to be digging in, and there's no end in sight. NPR's Greg Myrie is in Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, and joins us now to break down where the war stands. Good morning, Greg.
Hi, Layla.
Hi. So, Greg, give us a headline here. 90 days into Russia's war on Ukraine. How would you summarize the last 3 months?
Russia has underachieved. Ukraine has overachieved. That's been the case on almost every front. But right now, neither side appears capable of a major breakthrough, a knockout blow. And there are growing signs that this could be a long, drawn-out stalemate. For some perspective, I called retired U.S. Lieutenant General Ben Hodges. He also visited Ukraine just a few days before Russia invaded in February, and he was a bit surprised by how casual the Ukrainians were acting. But it reflected, he says, the confidence they had in their military now. Here's how he sees it today.
War is a test of will, and it's a test of logistics. Clearly, the Ukrainians have the stronger will. The logistical situation for them gets a little bit better every day, while for the Russians, it gets a little bit worse every day.
So he sees trend lines favoring Ukraine. What are Ukraine's most important achievements so far?
Well, Ukraine has really been outstanding at playing defense. They forced Russian President Vladimir Putin to abandon, at least for now, his main objective, which was to oust President Volodymyr Zelensky and effectively take control of the country. Now, remember, the Russians reached the outskirts of Ukraine's two largest cities early in the war, Kyiv, the capital, and Kharkiv in the northeast. In both cases, Ukrainians stopped the Russians in their tracks and ultimately forced them to retreat. Here in Kyiv, Layla, the war is still very much present. There are soldiers in the streets, government buildings are sandbagged, air raid sirens still cry out daily, but people are going about their daily life. We see families in the parks, young people buzzing around on scooters, kids are hanging out at the mall. The city is rapidly returning to normal. There's not an imminent sense of danger here.
Very different than a couple of months ago when I was there. For all their problems, the Russians, though, have gained ground since the war began. How significant are their advances?
Yeah, absolutely. The Russians have captured two important southern cities, Mariupol and Kherson. They've made some incremental advances in the east where the heaviest fighting is taking place. President Zelensky says 50 to 100 Ukrainian troops are being killed there daily. The Russians now have this unbroken swath of Ukrainian territory from the Donbas region in the east to Crimea in the south. So Ukraine would need to make a major push to dislodge the Russians. And as I mentioned, they've shown this ability to play very good defense and had some limited offensive, but they haven't shown the ability to carry out major offensives.
So what are Russia's aims now?
Well, the goals are much more limited. They're building on territory they've controlled in the east and the south, dating back to 2014. But even these scaled-back goals are straining Russia's military. This is according to Mick Ryan, a retired Australian general who's closely monitoring the war.
You know, if the Russians bog down and they're not able to get some kind of breakthrough in the coming weeks, the best the Russians can hope for is a long, drawn-out defensive campaign.
So the Russians still have some real military advantages and just raw firepower. But time and again, Ukraine keeps finding ways to blunt them. Just consider the air war. Ukraine, which has a small air force, says it shot down 200 Russian aircraft. Most Russian pilots now avoid Ukrainian airspace altogether. They're simply firing their weapons from long distance, from the skies over Russia or the Black Sea. I spoke with Ukraine's Air Force spokesman. He's Lieutenant Colonel Yuri Ignat. So he says the Ukrainians shut down most of those Russian aircraft at the beginning of the war. In the last month, the Russians have rarely flown over Ukrainian-controlled territory. They're really trying hard to avoid losing any more planes, he says.
Now, to put it mildly, this has been an intense and deadly 3 months, yet wars, they can go on for years. How are the sides preparing for that possibility?
Yeah, we are seeing it on both sides. Russia is really trying to entrench itself in southern Ukraine. In some of these areas that they've seized, they're setting up pro-Russian governments. They're also blocking Ukrainian exports, including the critical agricultural products like wheat and corn. It's using its warships in the Black Sea. And this is likely to become a major story in the coming weeks. And on the Ukrainian side, U.S. and NATO weapons continue to flow into Ukraine in massive quantities. The latest U.S. aid package of $40 billion means the military and economic aid will keep coming. And finally, talks to end this war have been suspended. Another sign it may have a long way to go.
NPR's Greg Myrie joining us from Kyiv in Ukraine. Thank you so much for your reporting.
My pleasure.
And later today on All Things Considered, more coverage from Ukraine. NPR's Sasha Pfeiffer talks to an investigative correspondent with the Associated Press about the Ukrainian medic who recorded body cam scenes she saw on the ground in Mariupol. To listen, ask your smart speaker to play NPR or your member station by name.